If you have one of those sermon outlines that are in the official Living Strong colors, I have a question at the top. It wasn't a question that I came up with. Actually, Will Rogers, when he spoke, would ask his audiences this question, and I want you to do this. The question is, how old would you be if you didn't know how old you were? I left a blank. Write something in the blank. There's pencils in the pew. How old would you be if you didn't know how old you were? How old would you think that you are? I see a lot of people laughing. Are you that old? At the end of the message, we're going to pass them around. You're going to write your name at the top. We'll pass them around, and then we'll really have some laughs, right? Well, we've been talking in this sermon series that Pastor Bob has had us on. We've been talking about living strong. So we have to ask, how many of us here this morning, by show of hands, how many of you desire to live strong? Well, amen. We're not just squeaking by. We're not just, I want to live the most minimal Christian life and just like crawl across the finish line into heaven. We want to live strong. And let me ask you another question by show of hands. How many of us want to live strong all the way to the end of our lives? Amen. And you see, that's what we're going to be talking about today. Because it's one thing for us to sit here today and say, yeah, I want to live strong today. I want to live strong this week, or to think I want to live strong in this season of my life. But I want to ask you, do you desire to live strong all the way to the end? However old you are. And we know that none of us know when our end is going to come, right? We don't know if we have another year on the earth or if God's going to give us another 60 years on the earth. We don't know. But what I want to talk about today is, what is your resolve to live strong all the way to the end? You know something I think is just sad, that I think everyone's guilty of, but don't we, through life, always look forward to the next chapter of life? You know what I mean? Like when you're a little kid, you can't wait to be a big kid and go to school. And then when you're in school, you can't wait for what? You can't wait to go to high school. Then when you're in high school, you get antsy because you can't wait to drive, and you can't wait to be a senior. And then when you're a senior, you can't wait to graduate so you can go to college and start school all over again, right? I love to tell that to our graduates. They're like, Pastor Jeff, I'm graduating this year. I'm like, you're going to college? They're like, yeah. I'm like, well, you're not done with school yet then. So, you know, celebrate all like 3 months that you're going to be off, right? Just like the last 12 years. But, and then when you're in college, you're looking forward to, you know, getting a job and, you know, marriage and children. And then when you have children, or when you don't have children, you look forward to having children. And then when you have children, a lot of people, sadly, I hear them say, well, I can't wait until they're old enough to get out of the house. And then the kids are out of the house, and then you're looking forward to what? Retirement, right? And then when you retire, what do you have to look forward to? Instead of looking forward to something, maybe when you retire, what you're thinking is, you know, life was a lot better back when I was a kid. Right? But isn't that sad that we're always looking forward to the next phase? And I can be guilty of that too. You know, I keep thinking, life's going to be a little bit easier when the kids get a little bit older and are able to manage some things for themselves. And then when they do get older, I'm going to be looking forward to the next thing. And we live in a sad cycle. And today we're going to talk about finishing strong to the end. And I want to speak specifically to senior citizens. And this message isn't just for senior citizens, because the truth is, the way that you're living your life now and the ministry and your enthusiasm for the Lord now is going to determine the ministry and your life when you're a senior citizen. That's true. But we have a bad mindset in our culture about aging. Senior citizens are expected to retire and to go off and disappear and die. And that sounds harsh. But that's the truth from a secular mindset. You retire, have a nice life. Next time I see you, we'll probably be at your funeral. It's a wrong mindset. The greatest untapped source of ministry in the church are the people that the world's given up on. And we live in a culture where there's a pervasive lie that all the best stuff in life happens in the first half of life, right? You know, all the school and fun and marriage and kids and all that fun stuff. That's in the first half of life. And then the second half of life is basically just watching the clock and, you know, flipping pages on your calendar until you die. It's interesting that sociologists have studied three different societies where people frequently live to be 100, even upwards of 120 years old. They've studied three societies like that, and you know what they found was that there was nothing in common with these societies in their climate, in their diet, or in their lifestyle. The only common denominator they found in these societies that were people, when they get older, were expected to continue to live a normal life. Their mindset wasn't, you retire from work, you retire from life. Their mindset was, we keep working, we keep moving on, and we live a normal life. And sadly, in our culture, we're conditioned that, you know, you get to a certain place in life, and from that point on, you're expected a free pass. Anything goes from that point, and I just do whatever I want, and I'm no longer obligated. I'm no longer having anyone have any type of expectation for me. I'm at an age where I'm just coasting, waiting for the end. I have a lot of senior citizen friends, and I just... You'd think of some with such a sharp sense of humor, but I remember one lady telling me that she got to that age where she can say whatever she wants to people and they can't do anything about it. Anybody here that old? I've said that. I'm like, man, I can't wait till I'm that old that I can say whatever I want to whoever I want and they're just going to have to deal with it. And that's really not how it should be. Listen to this quote. We're going to have it on the wall here for you. But this is from Bill O'Brien. He's the CEO of Hanover Insurance. And he's speaking clearly from a secular point of view. He's not trying to make any spiritual points. He's talking from a business standpoint. And he said this, people enter business as bright, well-educated, high-energy people, full of desire to make a difference. And by the time they are 30... a few of them are on the fast track, and the rest put in their time and do what really matters to them on the weekend. They lose their commitment, their sense of mission, and the excitement with which they started their careers. Mr. O'Brien said, "We get little of their energy and almost none of their spirit." That's a tragedy in the workplace. And it's an even bigger tragedy in the church. Don't we see that people getting involved in ministry just with, they're going to set the world on fire and they have a passion for Jesus Christ and a passion for the gospel and a passion for the Word of God. And then after some time, that passion turns into complacency. It happens in ministry. Listen, it happens to ministers. I have to constantly be disciplining myself to be studying God's Word for my personal spiritual growth, not pumping out the next sermon or pumping out the next lesson or giving a talk here. I need to be abiding in the Lord or my ministry is no good. But I need to abide in the Lord because my life's no good without Him. So it's a diligent endeavor, isn't it, to constantly be seeking the Lord and maintaining that freshness and the excitement of that relationship. But too many people get involved in ministry and get discouraged and sink into despair. Bill O'Brien also said this. He said, goals and objectives are not visions. Talking about when, you know, people get into this mode of complacency. He said, when asked what they want, he said, normally they respond with what they want to get rid of. When you ask people, what do you want out of life? Instead of saying, here's what I want, it's here's what I want rid of. You know, I want a new job. I want a new neighborhood. I want my mother-in-law to leave. I want my back to stop hurting. David Jeremiah says maybe some people shouldn't be called grown-ups, but instead be called given-ups. Because that's exactly what they've done. And at the risk of sounding cliche, it is true that as soon as we stop living, we start dying. So let me ask you, have you given up and settled in? Have you kind of put your life in neutral? No matter what age you are, but specifically senior citizens, are you just coasting along? Are you just surviving? See, we're taught that you get to a certain place in life and you just quit. You collect Social Security and, you know, you retire. Well, the Bible doesn't give us that option, does it? Do you see that in Scripture? Where it says at age 65, Moses then retired unto his work in the Lord and, you know, set up a beach house, you know, by the Sea of Galilee. We don't see that. And listen, this isn't going to be a chewing out session because I can give you a list. I'm not going to embarrass people, but I can give you a list of senior citizens that I know that put in more hours of ministry work a week than I do, that are constantly doing what God wants them to do in various aspects of ministry. That's true. I can give you a list. But I also know that there are also some senior citizens who have that mindset, that we even say, you know what, I put my time in. Don't ask me to teach a class. Don't ask me to be an elder. Don't ask me to be a deacon. Don't ask me to help with the building project. Look, I put my time in. And I come here on Sunday and I'll listen to the message and I might give, but, you know, let somebody else pick it up. And I agree that senior citizens are the greatest source of ministry in the church. That's the way it's meant to be. The Bible doesn't give us the opportunity or the right to quit. Because getting by is not God's way. Living strong is God's way. And today we're going to talk about a man named Caleb. Because he's our prototype, so to speak. He's our poster boy, I guess you could say, for living strong. Because Caleb lived life all the way to the end. Now I want you to turn your Bibles to the book of Joshua, chapter 14. Now the sermon points are going to be in the wall, but the scripture verses are not, so you need to have your Bibles open. Joshua chapter 14. And while you're turning there, I just want to remind you of the context of the book of Joshua. Remember, God had promised the nation of Israel, the land of Israel rather, the land of Canaan, to the Israelites. You know, God promised Israel a particular piece of land. And it started with His promise to Abraham. And you know the story, the Israelites, you know, living in Egypt and Moses leading them out from the oppressive Pharaoh and, you know, through the wilderness. And Moses not being permitted to enter, but Joshua was in charge of the Israelites and they entered the promised land under his leadership. And Joshua chapters 1 through 12, those chapters in Joshua chronicle the conquering of the land. And they tell of battles that were fought and theological reasons for success or for defeat. You know the story of the Battle of Jericho, where they marched around the city and shouted and blew their trumpets and the walls fell down. That was one of Joshua's conquests, one of the Lord's conquests through Joshua, we should say. And Joshua chapter 13 through 22, those chapters talk about the division of the land. Now that Israel had come in and taken out most of the major military forces, now they were dividing the land up as God had apportioned them. Joshua chapters 22 through 24 talks about a covenant renewing ceremony. And when we get to Joshua chapter 14, we see that the major military centers have fallen. And now Israel must spread out and take over the smaller groups of enemies. So to speak, the big dogs were knocked out of the fight. But there were still a few here and there sprinkled about the land that the Israelites were commanded, go out and drive the rest of the inhabitants out. And Joshua 14 is sort of a high point in the book of Joshua because it talks about Caleb. And before we read this text, I want to talk about Caleb's story specifically. Because he references his past in this passage that we're going to look at. But to read Caleb's story, you have to go back to Numbers chapters 13 and 14. And we're not going to turn there today, but I'm going to paraphrase for you what happened. But remember, Moses sent 12 spies into Canaan to spy out the land under the direction of the Lord. There were 10 spies, and Joshua and Caleb rounded out the 12. And after 40 days, they returned. And you remember, 10 spies gave a despairing report. They're too big. It's going to be too hard. We came here to die. We should just go back to Egypt. And word spread throughout the camp. And Caleb speaks up. In Numbers chapter 13 and verse 30, Caleb speaks up and he says, look, let's do it. You know, if God is with us, we will take this land and we will conquer, because we know the power of God's greater than any power anyone else can muster against us. But instead, the people listened to the negative reports instead of listening to Joshua and Caleb. You see, the majority saw the promised land and the task ahead of them in relation to their own ability. But Joshua and Caleb saw the task ahead of them in relation to God's ability. And that always makes the difference in ministry. If you look at something just from your own ability, you'll be in despair. And you'll be bawling and wishing you could go back. But if you look at things in relation to God, to say, if God is with me, who can be against me? Then you can conquer whatever God has before you. Well, you know the story. Numbers chapters 13 and 14, you know, God, because of the negative report, because of all the whining and crying and rejection of Moses on the part of the Israelites, God promised judgment. And he said that only two people in that generation were going to be able to enter the promised land. And that was Joshua and Caleb. God said everyone ages 20 and up are going to die out in the wilderness as they wandered for 40 years. And everyone 20 years and younger are going to be permitted to enter. Numbers chapter 14 and verse 30 is that promise to Caleb and to Joshua. Well, going from Numbers 14, we're going to fast forward 45 years to Joshua chapter 14, verses 6 through 15. And we're going to see how Caleb teaches us how to live strong until the end. And you see, the title of this particular Living Strong message is An Eagerness to Serve. And we saw that that was something that typified Caleb back in Numbers 13 and 14. He was eager. He's like, let's go get them. And we're going to see that Caleb didn't retire. Caleb didn't say, you know what, I'm an old man now, so we'll let these young whippersnappers handle the fighting, and I'm just going to go off to a retirement home. Look at Joshua chapter 14. How do you live strong to the end? The first thing you need to do, if you're taking notes in your outline, we have four R's today. The first thing you need to do is recite the promise of God. Recite the promises of God in your life. You see, that's exactly what Caleb did. Joshua 14:6 says, then the people of Judah came to Joshua at Gilgal. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, you know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, in Kadesh Barnea concerning you and me. So notice the first thing that Joshua did, and I think that we need to do, if we're going to have an eagerness to serve God all the way to the end of our lives, is to continually recite the promises of God to ourselves. You see, that was the first thing that Caleb did. He remembered the promise that God made to him through Moses. And he, when he encounters Joshua here, he recites it again. And I think in Caleb's life, it wasn't something that, you know, he was just revisiting for the first time in 45 years. I think it was something he was constantly remembering. God promised me that I was going to enter this land, and here I am. That must have been every day in his life. Look at God's, you know, providence. Look at, God promised me that I'd be one to enter the land, and here I am. I'd like to ask you, do we get to a point in our lives that the promises of God have expired? You know, do we get to a point that we think that there's fine print at the bottom of God's promises? You know, that we start out in ministry and we have that love for God, for that passion for the gospel of Christ and the love for God's Word, and we know the promises. But do we get to a point that they kind of fade a little bit? Remember how excited you were when you first gave your life to the Lord? And I remember when I was first called into ministry and I was like, I'm going to Bible college. And, you know, there were some people that tried to discourage that. Well, you know, preachers don't make very much money and, you know, you're going to have to work long hours. You might have to get supplemental income. And there's all this discouragement. And I remember at the time, I was like, I don't care. I know God's called me to preach. And if He's called me to do it, I'm going to do it. And He's going to provide and He's going to give me the power. And hey, you know what? Even if it's just me and God, I'm going to step forward. And remember that excitement? Well, we need to maintain that. Because, you know, that promise that God was going to provide for me and guide me and lead me and take care of me back, you know, 14 years ago, is that promise still just as valid today? I think that it is. And you see, I can look back now at the point, you know, and this is only 14 years in the past, not 45, like in Caleb's life. I can look back and say, you know, just as I knew back then, God was going to promise to guide me and provide for me, I can look back now and say, look where I am today. He has. God has been faithful throughout my life. And that's what Caleb was reciting here to Joshua. God has been faithful. And we see, we're going to look at this here in a second, but look at verses 9 and 10. We see that Caleb knew that God was fulfilling His word. He said, "The Lord kept me alive, just as He said. Since that time, the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel walked in the waters. And now behold, I'm 85 years old. He says, I'm still as strong today as I was in the day that Moses sent me. But there again, Caleb was saying, you know, God keeps His promises. And I knew it back when we were spying out the land. I knew that God was going to keep His promises. And I'm living testimony right now, standing here in Canaan, that God keeps His promises. And if you're going to stay strong in the Lord until the end, you have to recite the promises of God. I'm not talking about some mystical name it, claim it thing. I'm saying looking at the Word of God and saying, this is always valid. God's promises never fail. They're still just as valid today as they were clear back in the beginning. So number two, you want to live strong to the end? Remember how God has used you. Look at what He says in verse 7. He said, I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in my heart. So if you're going to stay strong into the end, you need to remember how God has used you. Some people forget how exciting it is to be used by God, how exciting it is to be used in the front lines of ministry. Can you think back to a time in your life that God used you? Anybody? Can you think back to a time that says, I know that God used me in this circumstance. I know God put this person in my path. I know I didn't know what to say to the person, but God just gave me the words to share with this person. I've heard so many of you say things like that. I know that God's using you. And just like Caleb, you need to be remembering that yourself. You don't get to the point to say, well, I don't really know if God can use me. It's like God does use you, He has used you, and He will use you again. Caleb knew that as long as he presented himself usable to God, God would use him wherever he finds himself. I heard a great sermon one time that was called Keep Me Usable. And I think that was the title of the sermon, but that was certainly the theme of the sermon if that wasn't the title. But the preacher was saying, you know, a lot of people say, I want God to use me. He said a better thing would be to pray, God, keep me usable. Because as long as you present yourself usable to God, God will use you. And I think Caleb knew that. Well, God hasn't changed His enthusiasm for ministry, has He? You know, God's been doing ministry for a long time. Has God lost His enthusiasm for ministry? Does the message of the cross of Jesus Christ, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, do you think that ever gets old to God? Absolutely not. In fact, Scripture tells us that's what we're going to be singing in heaven. Worthy is the Lamb. We're going to be singing praises to God for what He's done in Jesus Christ for eternity. The gospel message doesn't make God ever lose any enthusiasm. But the question we have to ask ourselves, what about me? Have I lost my enthusiasm for ministry? What about you? Has it waned a little bit on you? That hearing the message, yeah, I know all that. Yeah, I know all that. Yeah, I know about Jesus and the cross. I know all that. God's passion for that has never changed. Has yours? And if we would keep that in the forefront of our mind and remember how God has used us and how He will use us, that's where Caleb was here in Joshua. He says, I can remember back when Moses sent me, I remember bringing him the report just as it was in my heart. God used me and I know He will again. As long as I don't lose the passion. Number three, if you want to stay strong until the end, you have to refuse the attitude of the faithless. That's what we see in verse 8, where Caleb says, but my brothers who went up with me made the heart of the people melt. Yet I wholly followed the Lord my God. See, not only does Caleb remember how God used him, Caleb remembered the faithless people that were also sent out to spy the land. And you know, there's not much more tragic than seeing people fall away. You know, to see people that are right here in church with us that are on fire for the Lord, and here they are serving the Lord with us for a season and falling away and back to an old lifestyle or whatever. And you see, we could let something like that discourage us. We could let that, you know, looking around and saying, well, it just seems like nobody's staying faithful and why should I? We could let that discourage us, but I'd just like to remind you that Caleb watched every one of his peers die in the wilderness. How discouraging do you think that was? Think about that. You know, part of pastoral ministry is doing funerals. And it's sad sometimes when you're doing a funeral for somebody that dies in their late 90s. And there's very few people there. Because they've outlived most of their peers. It's not that they weren't loved or appreciated. It was they outlasted everyone else. Well, think of Caleb. All of his peers, all of his friends, except for Joshua, you know, over that span of wandering in the wilderness, he watched every one of them die. And that could be discouraging. But it didn't discourage Caleb, as we'll see. I think for us, sometimes seeing people fall away can strengthen our resolve. I think sometimes there's something in us that when we see somebody walking with the Lord and then walking away, isn't there something in you that says, I have to strengthen my resolve. I don't want to end up like that. I don't want to get to the point of despair that person got to in their life that I'm walking away from the Lord. And I think sometimes we can be our resolve can be strengthened when we see these things happen. You know, I think there's something to be said for being steady. Not a flash in the pan. Not a super on fire for Christ today and not for another long season. But just that steady abiding. Because it's easy to start strong. Everyone does that. I imagine those 12 spies, I imagine another 10 probably went into the promised land feeling pretty good. I don't imagine that they went to the promised land defeated before they went in like, oh, here we go, this is going to stink. I imagine they probably started out with, you know, let's go check this out, and this is going to be really exciting, we're going to go spy out the land. And then when they saw the obstacles before them, they just came back and said, never mind, it's too hard. Well, everybody starts strong. And I would like to remind you that we have to watch that we don't have Peter's bravado. Remember Peter, Jesus, even if everyone else falls away, I never will. We need to watch so we don't get into that trap. But see, I don't think Caleb was bragging here in this passage when he talked about the faithless people that gave the bad reports. I just think that in the midst of the faithless, the faithful people get fired up. In the midst of hearing the naysayers, in the midst of hearing people say, we can't do it, the people that are living strong in the Lord says, you're selling God just a little bit too short. With God, all things are possible. And hearing the naysayers sometimes just fires the faithful people up. I think that's what happened with Caleb. And your last R, understand the difference here. Number four, re-sign. but never resign. Resign, but never resign. You catch the difference there? Think in terms of athletics. You know, you hope your favorite ball player re-signs with the team. You hope that they don't resign from the team. Well, we see here that Caleb re-signed. He didn't resign. Look at verses 9 through 12. Moses swore on that day, saying, "Surely the land on which your foot has trodden shall be an inheritance for you and your children forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, just as he said these 45 years since the time the Lord spoke this word to Moses, while Israel walked in the wilderness. And now behold, I am this day 85 years old." Look at what he says next. Blows you away. Caleb says, "I am still as strong today as I was in the day that Moses sent me. My strength now is as my strength was then for war and for going and for coming. So now give me this hill country which the Lord spoke on that day. For you heard on that day how the Anakim were there with great fortified cities. It may be that the Lord will be with me and I shall drive them out just as the Lord said." Resign, but don't resign. Caleb was 85 years old. Did you see that staggering statement that he made? He said, "I'm as strong now as I was when I was 40. Now, how many of you are as strong now as you were 45 years ago? I wasn't even alive 45 years ago, so I'm kind of disqualified from that. But how about people older than me? Are you as strong now as you were 45 years ago? Anybody? For some of you, I believe it. But let me ask you this. At age 85, what would you have asked for? What would you have asked for at age 85? You know, Joshua, aren't you going to put some kind of a retirement home in the greater Jericho area? You know, some place where I can just play bingo and, you know, feed the ducks and, you know, just kind of go about my business. Well, many people would. What's the easiest route? What's the least I can do? Okay, I'll do something. Give me the easiest job. Or as Eric Wick calls it, the stupid person job, right? Just the easiest job, something that doesn't require much thought or much energy, or just give me the something I can just do the least amount of possible and exert the least amount of effort possible. But you notice that Caleb actually asked for the biggest assignment. You see, these Anakim, all the other Israelites were scared to death of them because they were giants. They were large men. Everybody else was scared to death. And at 85 years old, Caleb says, "Bring him on." He says, "I am just as strong as I was when I was 40. See, Caleb was energized by the assignment. Caleb knew that if you want to become a giant, you can knock down a giant. That's how you become a giant, right? You knock one down, you become one yourself. But Caleb didn't resign. He re-signed. Notice his strength. This isn't some abstract. He didn't say, like, "I have this inner strength." He said, "No, I have strength for war, for going and for coming." He says, "I still have the strength to fight. And as long as God's with me, that's what I'm going to do." So another question we have to ask ourselves, which is greater, your vision or your memories? Which is greater? Your vision for what the Lord could do through you, and your memories for what the Lord has done through you? Which is greater? I think some people look at ministry like the best days of my ministry are in the rearview mirror. Like, remember back in the day when I taught this class, or back in the day when I headed up this kids ministry, or back in the day when I did this. Some people, the best years of their ministry, they think is behind them. Not Caleb. Caleb says, there's even more ahead. When you do a little study of Joshua, you don't have to turn to all these. But Joshua chapter 13 and verse 13, and Joshua 15 and verse 63, and Joshua chapter 6 and verse 10, we see that there were some groups of Israelites that went out that did not drive out the occupants that were occupying that area of land. They did not. And you know that incomplete obedience is disobedience. Right? Well, the people that the Israelites didn't drive out completely, study the history of the nation of Israel, those people were constantly coming back and hounding them. They were a constant thorn in the side because they didn't obey God completely and completely drive them out. Well, there's one exception to this list. And you can probably guess who it is, right? Look at chapter 15 and verse 14. It says, "And Caleb drove out from there the three sons of Anak, Sheshai, and Ahiman, and Talmai, the descendants of Anak." See, Caleb didn't just sit there talking about it. He didn't sit there saying, "You know, if you would have given me these guys 45 years ago, I'd teach them a lesson." At 85 years old, he went and he did it. The only one on the list that completed the task. Caleb did what all the young bucks couldn't. What all the strapping young lads couldn't do, Caleb did it. So why do some people succeed and some people don't? Do you think Caleb was the only one out there fighting? No. Well, why do some people succeed and some people don't? Or the question we can ask is, why was Caleb different? Why was Caleb different? Well, when you study your Old Testament, there's about 30 verses about Caleb. And six times, God tells us why Caleb was different. Numbers 14:24, God says that Caleb has a different spirit and followed me fully. Numbers 32:12 says that Caleb wholly followed the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 35 and 36 says that Caleb wholly followed the Lord. Joshua chapter 14, verses 8 and 9. Caleb says, "Yet I wholly followed the Lord my God." Verse 9. Moses swore on that day, "You're going to get the inheritance." Why? "Because you have wholly followed the Lord my God." So did you catch a theme there? What made Caleb different? He wholly followed the Lord his God. You're like, "Well, that sounds so simple." Well, it is to understand. But to live out is a lot harder. To keep that same enthusiasm for ministry, that same passion for ministry, that same love for the Lord, that same love for the church, and that same love for the lost. It's easy to stop wholly following the Lord. But you notice that that's why Caleb had a different spirit. That's the key to staying fresh in ministry through every stage of life. Here it is. It's knowing what God wants you to do and doing it. That's it. It's knowing what God wants you to do and doing it. If you're not excited about what God's doing now, you're not going to be in your waning years. So remember before I asked you who wants to finish strong, even up to the very end, I think everybody raised their hands. But let me ask you this. Are you excited about what God's doing in your life right now? If you are, and you maintain that, you're going to have a Caleb type of life. You're going to have the type of life like some senior citizens in this church that I know that put thousands of miles on their car doing ministry, that put countless hours on the mission field and in the church and at the church office doing ministry. But if you're not excited now, don't think that there's going to come a day that it's just going to all magically come back to you that I'm excited about the Lord again all of a sudden. It's about maintaining that enthusiasm through every stage. As I close, I want to encourage you with one more thing. Look back in Joshua chapter 13 and verse 1. It says, "Now Joshua was old and advanced in years." Now if you have a King James Bible, it says that he was old and stricken with years. And I recently heard a preacher kind of laughing about that. He says, "Stricken with years." He says, "It sounds like old age like snuck up on me and like started beating me with a stick or something. I was, you know, stricken with years." But you know, That phrase is used 6 times in the Bible, and 5 of the 6 people that this phrase refers to is about to experience the best moment in their life. Did you know that? 5 of the 6 times that the Bible says this person was old and stricken in years, the thing that followed was the best moment of their life. Like Abraham, he was old and stricken with years. Was it the end? No, God's promise of Isaac came through. What about Zechariah and Elizabeth, old and stricken with years? Did something great happen in their lives? Absolutely. His name was John the Baptist, who Jesus said among men born of women was the greatest man that ever was. And here we see Joshua about to advance, you know, continue his assignment from God, advancing through Canaan. But just know when the Bible says someone is old and advanced in years, usually what follows is God had something great for them next. You know, maybe God has kept you around this long because your greatest assignment's ahead. Is that possible? Biblically, it is. You know, after an Arbor service last week, I had a lady come up to me, a friend of mine from up there, and she was asking me some questions and just need a little counsel. And it was with a sad tone. She said, "I'm just not even sure why God's kept me around." She said, "God must have some kind of purpose for me because I don't even know why I'm still living." And you see, biblically, even if you're old and advanced in age, it might not just mean that God's just keeping you around to fulfill something. It might mean that God's greatest thing for you is just around the corner, like it was for those that I mentioned. So we need to keep ourselves ready. There's still a lot of work to be done until Jesus Christ returns. And I don't plan on retiring. I don't ever plan on quitting. And, you know, Pastor Bob said it himself, he wants to die while he's preaching. You know, I've thought about that. And I'm not sure that that's what I want. Because I'd be afraid everybody would leave thinking that I said the wrong thing and God just like struck me dead right there on the stage like wham! Like, man, he was preaching heresy. So, you know, I die like, you know, Sunday afternoon or something. But I don't plan on quitting. And, you know, I'll be 34 this year and you could say, well, it's pretty early yet. When you get to be up there, you might think about slowing down a bit. Well, I hope to maintain a Caleb attitude. That I hope to be able to say, I still have the same enthusiasm for the Lord that I did when I gave my life to Him back in 1995. I still have the passion for the Word of God that I did when I preached at North Street or when I preached at Clear Creek Community or wherever God has me. And just now, we're going to invite you to come up and pray. And as Pastor Bob said, you know, you can come up and pray for any reason. This is a great time to not say, I'll pray about something later. How about coming and praying with someone right now? Whether you're dealing with an illness or maybe you have a friend or a family member that needs prayer, we invite you to come and pray. And maybe after looking at Caleb's life, maybe you want to pray, you know, I kind of have checked out of ministry. And I kind of have retired from doing God's work. And I don't want to resign, I want to re-sign. Well, we invite you to come for that too. But listen, this place up here isn't just like Tragedy Central. Maybe you want to come up and say, I want to maintain enthusiasm. Maybe you want to come up and say, you know what, just pray with me that I'm as on fire for the Lord as an old man or an old woman as I am today. Maybe that's what you want to pray for. We all agree we want to live strong. Do we want to finish strong? I think Caleb gave us some good tips on how to do that. Will you bow your heads and pray with me, and then we're going to invite you to stand and sing. And we'd ask you to come down and pray with us with whatever God has in your heart. Father in heaven, I just pray for myself and on behalf of this congregation that we'd never quit. God, you know we live in a culture that says you get to be 65 and you can retire and you can move off somewhere and just have a summer home and hang out on the beach or play shuffleboard and just kind of sit back and wait to die. But God, we don't see that in Your Word. What we see in Your Word is faithfulness to the end. We see Caleb at age 85 knocking down giants. We see John in his 90s writing the book of Revelation. We see people like Zechariah and Elizabeth, who You brought John the Baptist forth through them. We see people like Abraham and Sarah, who You fulfilled a promise that was a blessing for the whole world through them. God, I just pray against the attitude of our culture. I pray, God, at all ages, we'd never quit. And God, I just thank You now for the seniors that are still serving You strong. And God, You know my heart that I wouldn't want to preach a message like this to make people feel guilty. This isn't to try to guilt people into service or make people feel bad. God, this is about looking at a man's life like Caleb and saying, let's finish strong. And God, I thank You for those in the church that I wonder where they get their energy from. With all the ministry they do, even as senior citizens. And just pray that You would continue to strengthen them, God, and raise up more that can, like Caleb, say, I'm still ready for whatever God has for me. And God, as we come to this place of prayer, just ask that You would help us all to just throw off anything that inhibits us. And in humility, to just come and, whether it's for ourselves or for someone else, bring our requests and petitions before You. God, we thank You and we praise You because You alone are the source of our strength. You're our provider. And all things are for Your glory. In Jesus' name.